Welcome. We are live. Welcome. It's Cornelia Stephanie here, intuitive, sovereign. I brought with me my friends, Pia and Colin, who are also intuitive and sovereign. Welcome to the show, Pia and Colin.
Great to be here, as always.
Hi, Cornelia. We're always happy to have these conversations with you.
Thank you. I'm so excited. We have a new system today. And thank you for being so flexible and being willing. YouTube. And then what's happening is this podcast is being taken and it's going to be loaded to 50 plus media outlets. So we just want to transmit this vibration and transmit this frequency all over the world. And you two are joining us from?
From where in Europe?
You're in Europe. Yeah, you're in Europe. And where exactly are you?
Southern part of Europe, is about as far south and east as you can go.
Wow.
We're on an island of the Mediterranean.
Yeah, and so were you called to move there?
Yes, absolutely. We seem to be called to wherever the energy that we can supply is needed. So we've moved many, many times during our careers. And I think we're here in the Mediterranean area completely on purpose.
So are you feeling like you're going to be there for a while? Are you feeling there might be a call to move? What's the feeling?
The feeling is stay in the present and deal with what's here now and don't look towards the future, because everything is changing so fast it's impossible to plan a future at this moment. Things are changing too much, and we make choices from the energy and from how our hearts feel, as well as from outer situations. We put it all together. So planning from the mind's point of view just doesn't work in the new paradigm.
Yeah, and you know what's so great? It's like, I know you just sent out a blog, and so I wanna talk a little bit about your blog. I wanna talk a little bit about my newsletter, the information that we sent out, because it's exactly what you just said. It's living in, making the present moment so magical. Look what I brought. Bing. this magic. This is my feeling wand. This is my feeling wand. Of course, it's pink, and I've got my pink top on, and it's just because pink is a color that makes me feel really good when I see a pink sky. And so I've got my pink feeling wand, and yeah, we're making magic happen in the present moment. And so I'm really excited that we're going to talk about this today. So this morning when I woke up, I wasn't quite awake, but I woke up with the feeling of warrior. So that was what literally pulled my body up, warrior. And this is exactly the energy that we're all in right now, is the warrior energy. And we have been for a long time, but it's just feeling that warrior that is standing up in the light, in that vibration, in that frequency, no matter what. What do you have to say about that?
Well, I think that's a very profound thing to talk about, because pink to us in the Pleiadian color scheme equals love. And we realize that love is not always soft. Love can be, one of the aspects can be softness and caring and embracing, but at the same time, love can also be very strong and actually even fierce. And when Mary Magdalene comes through Pia, she often tells the audiences that we do indeed have to use the strength of love And we have to be fierce.
Because we have to stand up for justice.
And so I think what you're bringing up right now is incredibly important right now in the way the world is working or not working, because being a warrior of love is bringing all the aspects of love, caring, compassion, and strength together. So what you woke up with this morning, I think, is absolutely on point and absolutely what we have to engender in everything we're doing now. We can't just be soft. We have to be all of those parts of love and bring them together, and it will make a much wholer part of what we understand about what love is.
Yeah, that's so good. Thank you for speaking to that so well, because like I said, it almost felt like I was in a tomb, and then I awoke from the dead. I woke from the dead, and it's like you're rising and you're waking up and you're coming out, you're waking up, and it's warrior. And then just the same thing that you said, we can't really be, you know, there's a place for softness. And I love being in that energy too. I love being in the space of just pure softness and fluff and grace and beauty and softness, and you're melting. And I love being in that space. And that's the place that I've actually had to go to throughout my awakening journey so that I can really learn to nurture myself and love myself and offer myself that softness, the softness of the mother, the divine mother. And then you also spoke to the fierce energy. The energy that is just will not tolerate any interference. any interference. It's just not allowed. And that requires so much strength, and it requires so much courage, especially since we've been on the battlefield for so long and many are tired.
Yep, I think that's absolutely correct. And what you're also talking about is the balance of all of these elements. And one thing that's missing in our modern world at this point is this world and society is absolutely out of balance. And that's something we have to address from many different angles, many different avenues. And if we can see love as a balanced way of looking at everything and treating everything, then that balance will help bring the entire out of balance situation back into balance. And I think that's really important.
Yeah. And we have to be able to, you know, like, again, being in our warrior state, it does take a warrior to be able to sit and look at everything that is, like you said, out of balance, and look at it from a place of consciousness and realization that this has been out of balance. This has been the duality, or shall we say the polarization of what's played out. And now we are making it right. You know, we're bringing it into balance. It's funny because this morning when I was sitting here getting ready, because it's 7:30 in the morning here, by the way, or 7:45 now. But when I was getting ready for this podcast, I always like to bring a glass of water, but this is the first time I've ever done that. So I brought a glass of water here and I put it over here to my right. And then all of a sudden I laughed because I had the same. So talk about balance. And look, they have about the same amount of water. It was just hilarious. You know, I didn't realize that I already brought a glass of water out, and then, you know, obviously brought another glass to bring the balance. Well, leave it to a Libra like me that's going to make sure that justice is served on this planet and that we're not going to tolerate anything less than absolute divine love, unconditional love, nourishment for the truth. And, you know, this is what we're doing. So I'm going to take a drink now. So Spirit said this morning on my walk, and I had to get up really early because in order for me to meet with you all, I have to be ready to go at 7:30. Well, I have to get out to nature and connect with my trees and everything before I come and talk to you guys. So this morning, Spirit said to me, ask me this question. What is it that you want people to know about you? What is it that you want people to know about you, me personally? What is it that you want people to know? And usually when I get a question like that, I like to sit down and write it out and journal it out and, you know, really hear it. Again, listening from a deep soul place. So what I want people to know about me is that I have remembered the truth of who I am.
That's excellent.
That's really, you know, so that was like, wow, okay, yes, that's what I would want people to know. I mean, one day we're here and the next day we're not. And even our close family and even our close friends, they perceive you the way they perceive you.
Mm-hmm.
They perceive, right?
Larkma, our Pleiadian friends say that the key to healing is remembering who you are.
That people often ask Larkma, what's my mission? What's my purpose here? And people generally are looking for a pretty grandiose answer about, well, you're here to do this because it's important, or you're special because what you're doing is important. And what they try to make people focus on is not really what they're doing here. It's remembering who they are so that they can do a better job of whatever it is they're doing here. So what you brought up, go ahead, Pia.
Larkma usually says two things. They say, first of all, if you want to know your purpose is simply to be love. And if you want to know how to get there, you have to remember who you are, which heals everything that's out of balance. So ultimately, it comes down to, it's not what you do, but how you do it.
Yeah. And so I want to ask the audience, and I'm going to be asking the two of you, but I want to ask the audience, all of you that are watching this live on Facebook, that are going to see it later on YouTube, or are live on YouTube, and that you're going to hear it later on the podcast, is what do you want people to know about you? I'm curious, because this question came from Spirit, from source energy, from the universe. And when I hear a question like that, that's directed towards me, I answer it and then I offer it back to you. What is it that you want to be? What is it that you want people to know about you? What is it that you want people to know about you? This is, I think, an important question because of all the change that Pia talked about, everything that's going on. And like I said, some people, even your closest friends, they're going to perceive you from where they are, from their filter, from their consciousness, from their knowing. But unless you communicate clearly to them what you want them to know about you, where it's like, without a doubt, I know this about you. I know this about you. This happened recently, and I'll tell you, I had a friend of mine that I hadn't seen for a long time. We met under the Rainbow Bridge to have a picnic. And he was telling me that after he got the jab, that he had a bad reaction, okay? And that actually he lost, you know, all muscle memory, and he fell out of bed, and he had to actually get picked up by the fire department. They had to come, and this was after that, right? And so, I hadn't seen him in a few years, actually. And so, and then I said to him, and I said, he said, did you get the jab? And I looked at him and I go, what do you think? What do you think? I mean, really, like, what do you think? You know me, right? What do you think? And he goes, you didn't get it. And I go, good, you know me. That's good. And I said, good, you know me. And I said, that's great. I go, and why do you think I didn't? Let me ask you that question. Why do you think I didn't? And he goes, because you trust the universe. Trust the universe. And so it was a really very profound conversation. But this is exactly, a lot of people don't know necessarily what your beliefs are and what you stand for. And unless you communicate that to them on a consistent basis, because they're going to perceive you from their level of consciousness or where they are. They, you know what I mean? So what do you think about that?
I would say that your diatribe, your conversation with your friend is an answer to your question, what do you want people to know about you? That's how I would answer that question, is I want people to see the truth of who I am. I can perceive myself a certain way. I can know certain things about me. But honesty and integrity and kindness are all really, really important to me. But if people can't see that about me on their own, I don't think it's my job to tell them that's who I am. So my answer is, I want you to see the truth in me. Open your eyes, see what you perceive, use your heart, and see who I am. That's how I would answer that.
Good. Well, you just did. You answered that. So that's what you want people to know about you. And honestly, Pia, from the time that I've known you, that's what I know about you. I absolutely know that you are all of that and more, not just with how you're showing up, but with also all the tireless work that you've done here on this planet, you know. Your amazing contribution that you've given with, you know, just tirelessly being a warrior, a fierce warrior, and standing up for the light no matter what, in, you know, in all of the darkness and chaotic, toxic energy. So what about you, Colin? What do you want people to know about you?
Well, I would agree with everything that Pia just said in describing herself. And I would add that I want to be as completely transparent as possible so that people can see me, so that they don't have to necessarily listen to me, what I'm saying, but to be able to read the energy that I broadcast, the energy that I put out into the world, whether that is through my speech or whether that is through my actions or even through my thoughts, because many people are now realizing that we can read each other's thoughts. If we combine intuition and our heart wisdom together, we can begin to remember that we can communicate without words. We can communicate directly, heart to heart. And I think what I would want people to know about me, or what they would see about me, and I would also add what they would feel about me. Mm-hmm. People are getting more involved in their feelings. As the world becomes harsher and as the world changes as dramatically as it is, people have to rely on not only their intuition and their heart wisdom, but they have to start relying more heavily on their body wisdom, which I would equate with feelings. So what I would like to be seen as is a divine spark of light who remembers who I am, and that I'm here to be of service. That is my objective, is to do everything I can do to bring peace, to bring a much more understandable idea of what duality really means. Instead of using duality as a separating mechanism, which most humans do, and societies and nations, I would like to see through what I do and who I am, that people use duality as a bringing together the differences that we are in order to make a more perfect whole. So I think that's how I would describe or wish people to see who I am.
Yes. And while both of you are talking, the birds are singing in the background. Do you have the windows open or is there a door open? I'm visualizing that.
Yes, yeah. We have birds singing all day long. It's lovely.
Yeah, we have a tremendous amount of different bird species here that are communicating all the time. We even have nightingales who only speak and are active at night. So we actually have night birds here also.
Wow. Wow. Well, that's wonderful. Go ahead, Pia.
We also have a very healthy forest around us, which the birds love. We have lots of healthy trees and waterfalls, and those things make a perfect environment for bird baths and flying from tree to tree. So the birds are happy, so they sing a lot.
Yeah, it's usually when you have a forest like that that's close by where the birds, like the where the birds are. So it's a wonderful way to continuously keep, you know, nature right there, you know, waking you up, sleep, you know, laying you down and, you know, communicating with nature, which this is, again, where we're all going is returning to harmony with our divine nature in nature, right?
We can't explain or talk about balance without talking about nature, because nature, we are nature. We have forgotten for the most part that nature is part of us and we are part of nature. And to be whole and balanced, in order to replenish ourselves, regenerate ourselves, we must spend time in nature. And so many people think or believe that if they take a week off and go to a national park in whatever country they may live in, that fulfills their connection with nature. And Pia and I realize that a week a year is not going to be sufficient for us really to connect with nature. If we don't live in the forest, if we don't live near a national park, bringing nature into our homes by having flowers and plants inside the house can also make us be connected to nature directly. So whatever the natural world brings us, inside or outside, is what we need, because the world is so chaotic, the world is so frenetic, that if we don't have that special time with nature, we're simply not going to be as balanced or happy as we could be if we did spend more time in nature. So nature is part of this whole discussion about balance and love
and justice.
And justice.
You can't even see what's just if you don't spend time being balanced in nature, because you get tilted off by your own agendas, your own emotional stuff, your own wounding, whatever it is. If you don't spend time in nature rebalancing yourself, it's very challenging to see true justice.
That's true. That's true. We don't think of justice in that way.
No.
We don't think of justice in that way because we only think of, you know, other forms of injustice to make just. But it's true. It is an injustice that we haven't remembered our true nature and being in nature, you know, living in nature, you know, having nature intuitively around us, communicating with nature all the time. So yeah, that is a really beautiful way to look at it.
We were talking to a friend the other day who spends a tremendous amount of time on a computer every day. And we were talking about how it would be really good if she could spend time away from the computer and be involved in other things that are more nature oriented. And as we were talking to her, we realized where she lives is also in a forest, and not where we live, but in another country. And she said, at least while I'm working on the computer, I can look outside and I'm still in nature while I'm working on the computer. And that was a really important point, because so many people that work with computers either as a daily job or at night for entertainment or research, they're usually in a building that's not associated with nature. And so if people can spend more time in nature while they're working with their computers or other devices, at least that will be a help to them instead of simply being in the technological world all of the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really good point too. Definitely. And I know a lot of people, I mean, I'm on the computer a lot too. I do a lot of podcasts. I'm on a lot of meetings and different things like that. But that's why it's like, if I have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning in order to connect with nature and have be in my rhythm before I come on a podcast with you, then that's what I'm going to do. Simply because, you know, it's, I wouldn't feel the same without it, you know? And I mean, I can open my front door and I can, you know, I have, like you said, a little forest around you. I feel like I'm in a tree house, basically. I have trees all around me. The water is right here. The Rainbow Bridge is right there. So I am, you know, but nature is such an important piece. So when we're looking at what do you want people to know about you, or what do you want to be seen for, and what do you want people to know? And that is that I worked personally, tirelessly, to remember who I am, to remember the truth of who I am, and to live in that actualization now, to tell a new story, to live in a surrendered state of being, and not have it all planned out, not have it all laid out. It's just like, you just don't know, because there's a whole new world that we are co-creating together. But for me, heaven on earth, peace on earth, this has been the mission to have that experience and that co-creating heaven on earth, whatever that means to each person. I know what it means to me, but that's what I'm working on, working for. Continuously is the thing that gets me out of bed, is to establish peace on earth. That this is where what's possible for the first time ever on this planet. And doesn't mean that we're not going to have our challenges like we are, but we have to have the vision of that peace, right? We have to have the vision of that peace. And so it is peace will reign on earth. And so that takes a lot of fierce love and witnessing and dedication and standing up for that light. So, yeah. Do you have anything to add there?
I think you just summarized it all perfectly.
It's, there are so many things that people could be involved with. There are so many mental activities. There's so many physical activities that people spend their time concentrating on. And it seems to us that if people would focus on what you just spoke, what you just brought up about what we can do to make this a better place, what we can do personally, it may seem like a small effort, because each of us in the really big picture can contribute what we can contribute. And some people would say, well, what I think and do doesn't make much difference, but actually that's not true. Each of us, in every thought we have, every word we speak, every action we take, makes a tremendous amount of difference. If it is done in a high vibratory, high frequency fashion, it ripples out and it affects everything. It affects people, it affects animals, it affects our total environment on this planet. So by saying what you just said about what gets you out of bed every morning is trying to bring that feeling or that aspect of heaven on earth or peace on earth. Each of us is way more powerful than we know, than we suspect. And because we are co-creators, every time we make an effort, whether it's a thought that we don't even share with others, whether it's a word we do share, or whether it's an action we take in public, each of those elements really does make a difference. And every person around the world focusing on that intent or that kind of change in the world will cause heaven on earth to become a reality here. But we have to do it. We have to actively do it. And that's why we think this year of 2021 is one of those special years. The energy present right now enables us to stand up and speak either for something or against something with courage, as you said, with justice, with love. And by doing that, we are making a difference. It may not seem immediately like things are changing, but in the long run, the more of us that do these kinds of, whether it's a meditation or a blog or a newsletter or a podcast, it doesn't matter what it looks like. It's the energy behind it that makes the difference.
It's the how. It's the how we're doing it instead of the what we're doing.
Yeah. You know, when I've been contemplating all of this, you know, especially now with Mercury being retrograde and this reflective time that we're in. But honestly, for me, it's no different than any other day. It's like, you know, any other moment. It always comes down to the same thing, you know, let go and ascend higher into this vibrational way of living and being. And so it always comes down to the present moment. It always comes down to what my actions are now, what my thoughts are now. But thinking about when I first started beginning my awakening journey, and when Spirit was talking to me about, do I want to be a slave for the rest of my life? Those were the words. Do I want to be a slave for the rest of my life? And at first, I remembered that was a connection to the job I was in because I felt like a slave there. But then, you know, that question continued on to other things because as you're evolving and grow, and now it was this. And so going from slavery, feeling like a slave, to feeling being a sovereign being, a free being, has been the journey. So but when I first began, I can't even tell you that I had no clue, no idea of all the injustices that were being played out right before my very eyes. And I was just going along with the whole thing. You know, yeah. It's like, wow, you know, you had no idea because you just think that, you know, the earth is beautiful and the people are beautiful and everybody's, you know, but you didn't realize. And now it's like there were in that walk, in that spiral walk, there were so many things to discover and, you know, realize and research and know so that we can really truly claim our power back and claim our planet back and claim our kingdom back and claim our life back and claim our abundance back and claim our joy back. That, you know, no one is allowed to take it. This is just not acceptable, you know? And so I'm curious to see too, how this is going to play out, how this next phase in my life, in my life with what I'm up to, what's, you know, how, what I'm being called to, you know, to do now, because there's just a lot of things changing and I'm feeling this global movement. So it's going to be interesting to see how it's going to play out, but I'm excited. I'm really excited about where I am. And that I'm solid in that. And I know that I can bring that, like you said. We all have the ability. We have much more power than we realize. Mm-hmm. And that when we realize that we are a force of nature, and when we remember that, and we remember that and we use our energy for good, for the good, there's amazing, wonderful things that can happen very quickly.
Mm-hmm. I want to add something to what you said about getting our everything back, and you ended it with getting our joy back. I think during these times of intense challenge, as we're living in moment by moment, surrendering into and facing and standing up for all of those aspects of what we have to do in the moment, I think sometimes what we also have to remember is that positive experiences do not always have to be joyful. It is in some of the most profound experiences that the depth is acknowledged. And it's from the profoundness and the recognition of that connection and that experience that the joy will spring at the appropriate moment. Yeah. So trying to grasp or hold on to joy, or I want to feel happy, I want to be joyful, doesn't get you there as much as it does connecting with the profound experiences that we're having that may be uncomfortable, that may not be something we really want, but we know they're necessary to get where we need to go.
Yeah. You have to be, that's a really good one. It's not like spiritual bypass. Spiritually bypass what you're feeling in order to just be in the mental body and think, oh, it's the joy. No, you have to, because we can choose our feelings. But again, if you're feeling, you know, in contrast, you know, alchemize that contrast for the good, because there's an energy that is waiting to be released, because that contrast is really going to help you release, so that underneath there's always that truth that's waiting to be claimed once that energy has been released. But the way I always like to do it is I like to dive into that feeling of whatever the feeling is. It doesn't matter what it is. Where before we used to use addictions and distractions and all these other things, which it's a miracle that I'm sitting here today talking to you of all the things that I've overcome with suicide and big time addictions and, you know, toxic relationships and abuse. The fact that I'm here and that I was able to completely flip that paradigm and it is a miracle. It's a miracle. And so that's why I know it can be done. But the biggest part is to be willing to feel your feelings.
Yes.
To really be able to feel your feelings.
That's something that Pia and I have talked about and written about for a very long time.
It's also the way we've always lived our lives.
We've
always faced whatever it is head on. You know,
this is
what's here, and I may not like it, but this is what's here, and I know it's here for a reason, and I'm to deal with it in the way with the tools that I have now to deal with it, not try to avoid it, not try to escape it. That it's always been our pathway for Cullen and me both. In fact, we first got together. That's one of the things we talked about, is how each of us is always, to the best of our ability, just met things head on, whatever they are.
And not only doing that, but realizing that all those experiences that we've had were most likely necessary to wake us up, to get us where we are today. Mm-hmm. When you say that it's a miracle that you're actually here in this discussion together with us,
you
probably, and I don't want this to sound like an opinion, I'm just observing that this is probably the case, you probably had to go through all of those things to get to the point where you would realize that you had to remember who you are. And to use all of the tools and all of the wisdom and all of the knowledge to bring you to the point where who you are then and who you have become because of those experiences. So I think both you and Pia are right. I think we have to look at these experiences head on, don't avoid them, but also realize that they have been the experiences that have formed who we are now. And I think that's extremely important, because if it had been a free ride all along, we might not have learned anything.
Everything would be surface.
We might be stuck in an illusionary place where we were saying, I just want to be happy all the time.
So going back to the happiness and joy and the profoundness that we were talking about a minute ago, all of us, I would say that an example of that would be if you're sitting by a friend or a relative that you love very, very much, somebody really important to you, and they are dying. Are you going to be happy in that moment or joyful? No.
That's a great example.
You can't be joyful or happy in that moment. And yet if you are fully present in that process and that person looks at you and shares with you what they're feeling, what they're experiencing, what they're going through, and you reflect back to them acceptance and love, and I'm here with you, the profoundness of that after that experience is over will stay with you in a joyful way, that you will be happy that you met the situation fully and profoundly rather than trying to escape from it or change it.
Yeah. I mean, that's a really good point that point that you made. I call that, you can be in pain and bliss at the same time within your humanity. You can be, because we have tried to numb down and dumb down our humanity, but we're capable of being able to be, you can have contentment and peace in your heart. And depending on what is joy, what does joy mean to you? If I'm sitting here and I'm content and peaceful in my heart, and there's a vibration of joy that is just, content and feeling good. And then when I'm called to sit with a dying friend, I can bring that contentment there. Mm-hmm. And I can feel the energy. I can bring that energy there. And I can feel the energy also of sadness. And, there's that. And be with all of those feelings simultaneously in my multidimensional self experience as a human being, and knowing that this is all part of it, and that I am capable and able to feel all of this and be present with my friend, and then possibly even cry. Mm-hmm. And then after that, maybe laugh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is a very important subject for me, because I went through a period in my life where I was absolutely enthralled and focused on the process of death and dying. When I was a younger man, I spent a number of years studying, spending time with what I would call experts in the death and dying field, way back in the 70s and early 80s. And I spent a tremendous amount of time with the dying, both friends, family, and strangers, people I didn't know, but that I was being connected with. And some of the most profound experiences I've ever had in my life were in those conversations with someone who's in that process, who is nearing a stage of liberation, a stage of transition into something either that they don't understand or that they do have an inkling of what's going on, and watching and listening what they're going through. I had some just amazing experiences being with people who are going in and out of dimension, where they're here consciously and then they look like they're asleep, but they're not. They're actually in another dimension. And then they come back and they talk about what they saw, what they felt, what they experienced. And those pictures of understanding that this is only one dimension that we're inhabiting, but we're also involved in the experience of other dimensions simultaneously. As a young person, I was just amazed at how the people were experiencing both their terrestrial life here and an experience in another dimension simultaneously, and being able to talk about it and share it. That was joyous and blissful and liberating for me. So I'm glad that you two brought that up and talked about that, because that is a combination of being able to be sad, happy, blissful, concerned,
And at peace.
And at peace at the same time. That is an amazing place to be. And that is another experience of using duality in a very positive way.
Well, I mean, if we're going to bring, you know, like from my consciousness, heaven on earth is already here, because I from in my consciousness, it already exists in this state of being in my physical body. It exists here, and it's I know it's in here, and it is. I am meeting that state always with my conscious mind and my consciousness and my love and my compassion. So, you know, it exists. And so peace on earth already exists within my being. It's already there. It's not just with me. Other people are holding that vibration. You guys are holding that vibration as well with the work that you've done and what we're continuously doing in bringing that high vibration into the present moment. When you were talking about death and dying, and like, I always think that, you know, approaching, not to take anything for granted. This is the reason why Spirit said this morning, you know, what do you want to be seen for? What do you want to be known for? What do you want people to know about you? And that's because one day we're here and the next day we're not. And just to right now, remember again what we're doing here and how awesome it is that we're in a physical body and how great it is that I get to come here and talk to you today about this subject and how wonderful that is. What a joy and what a celebration that, you know, we are conscious and we are alive and we're in this body when this the entire universal game is changing, not just here on this planet, but all over. Mm-hmm. So there are so many things that are going on and that my life mattered, the contribution, but your life matters and your life matters, and bring that consciousness to that present moment. And that is how we're creating our future, right? Because it is done in the moment, not in the past, not in the future. Like you said, when we first started this call, Pia, you said right now. And that is what is really important for everyone to make their present moment just like they want it to be. So if there's energy to process and you've got grief or you've got triggers that need to be cleared or you've got something to witness and observe so you can come back to being neutral, whatever the energy is, do it so that you can come back to how would you like to feel, you know. And that's why I brought my magic feeling wand, is because it reminds me of you know, how I want to feel, and that is bringing to fruition what it is that I came here to experience. And feeling that in this moment, and in this moment, and in this moment. And trust me, I personally have, there's times like the other day, I was at my parents' house on Sunday night. No, was that on Sunday night? I can't remember what day it was, but I was over there. And when I was leaving, I got in the car at 10 o'clock at night and the car wouldn't start. So, but had a wonderful time, right? And then, you know, you got to get home. You got to drive into the next town, and then the car doesn't start. Well, also being okay with that. And it's like, you know, the car doesn't start. Wow, look at that. Isn't that something? You know, it's like, this is life. It's all part of it. So this is something better, something amazing is going to, you know, come out of this. Approaching whatever is happening, not from a place of judgment. This is an important piece, especially when it comes to things of your body, is not judging the body and holding your body in judgment, because truly, I really feel like we are really doing the best that we can.
Well, that brings up the idea that no matter what is going on in our lives, instead of thinking of each individual situation as problematic or positive, one of the things our Pleiadian friends talk about over and over again is just take all of these things as an experience, just an experience. as you said, no judgment, no opinion that this experience is better or worse than the next experience or the experience before this experience. It's just an experience, and our job is just to get through it.
Our job is to respond to it instead of reacting to it, to get through it. You said that just right.
And go ahead, Pete.
One thing that's important to reach that point also, we talk all the time about how we shouldn't judge. But one of the little things that sneaks in judgment is being disappointed. You go out, as you said, your car doesn't start. You obviously were going somewhere. The first thing that comes in is a judgment disguised as a disappointment. I'm judging that this is a bad experience because I feel disappointed that I can't do what I planned to do. So ultimately, all the disappointments and all the judgments relate to perceptions that we have about what we want and not necessarily what the universe may be bringing us that could be better.
Yeah.
So your example of your car not starting, it's a universal experience. Think of all the people who have had car problems, and lo and behold, someone comes by or someone comes to the rescue of the situation, and a new friend is met, or a new experience happens that if you had just driven home and gone to bed, you wouldn't have met that person, or you wouldn't have had an alternate experience that might have been better than simply getting in the car, driving home and going to sleep.
Well, we have a perfect example of that. We had a short vacation that we were taking in Canada up in the mountains, and we were going to Banff and that beautiful natural park area up in there, and our car broke down before we got to Banff. It broke down majorly, and we went to get it repaired, and they said, oh, I'm sorry, we have to order a part from England. This is going to take about 10 days. We got a loaner car, and we had some of the best 10 days of our life in nature.
It was
amazing. We had to call and cancel clients and say we're not going to be back when we thought, and it was an amazing gift. So it worked out. That's the perfect example of that.
But it's a bigger story than that. We were in a vehicle, our own vehicle, that was a super vehicle. It should have been able to go anywhere. It could climb trees. It could go. It could cross rivers. It was a bulletproof vehicle.
Superpower.
It was a British Land Rover. For those who know what a Land Rover is, they're impenetrable. They will do anything
when they work.
When they work. This vehicle was in perfect condition, and yet it broke, and the only vehicle available out in the middle of nowhere. I think we were in Jasper, not Banff. I think it was the next park up, but doesn't matter where it was. It was in the outback, and there weren't very many rental car choices. And the only car we could get would be the car that I don't like. The model and the shape of the car was like, oh, I don't like this one. We had to take it. And not only did it perform perfectly, it was the right vehicle for the occasion. And so Pia is bringing this up because that possible tragedy turned into one of the best vacations we've ever had in our lives.
So we have to get over that initial disappointment and recognize that disappointment is a form of judgment. I don't know if anybody's ever said that, but I think it needs to be recognized.
Oh, I think brilliant. Judgment. That's brilliant that you bring that up. So the people that hear this, that they can make that association and go, yeah. Yeah. I'm just observing myself the other night while you're talking. How was I responding? Well, it was interesting. I think that my mom and her partner were more disappointed for me than I was. Because it was funny. So, you know, because they're like, they probably felt bad for me, right? Because now it's like, oops. I'm like, oops, you know, the car won't start. Ha, 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 ha. You know, it was so silly. And then, you know, Arnie let me borrow his car to drive home, which is 20 minutes away. So then when I call the car company, you know, the automotive place, they tell me it's going to be, you know, like they're behind and they won't get to it until like Wednesday or Thursday. So I'm just like, wow, and isn't it interesting? I have a car, I have a loaner car, and everything is fine, and it's all being taken care of, and isn't that interesting? And just, wow. So it was kind of like that. So this was my experience, just going, huh, look at that. The car wouldn't start, and everything is being taken care of, and it's okay not to be attached to how things should be. And I'm really seeing this in other areas of my life too, because, you know, when it's happening in one area, it shows up in other areas too. Yep. We just have to go with the flow. And because, again, it's not based on our linear plans, you know, how everything should be. So just being open to new beginnings.
Yep. And, absolutely. And in the beginning of our conversation, you said that although this is in the middle of Mercury retrograde, you just see life as it is every day, whether we're in Mercury retrograde or not.
And that's
the experience you had with a car. Things break during Mercury retrograde because Mercury rules transportation and mechanical things.
And communication.
Right. And you had that experience during Mercury retrograde. It affected your car, but you didn't go down into a disappointing place because you realized that, so what? It happened. I get a loaner car and it's all going to be okay. That is how we should be able to transcend all difficulties. Instead of reacting, as Pia said earlier, if we just live in the moment of what's happening, it's not so bad. It's never as devastating as we think it is, because there are always other alternatives or other avenues, or as people used to say, when a door closes, a window opens. And if we could live our lives like that on an everyday basis, we would have a much happier life.
Yeah, and you know what? That is the secret sauce of the universe, what you just said right there. It's the secret sauce right there. You just said it. You know, I think we covered all the things that we needed to cover today with bringing it right back to the present moment. We've touched on quite a few profound insights that definitely are very helpful for the people that are out there experiencing some difficulties. But again, when we shift our perspective, when we're open and when we're willing to allow life to have its way with you in a way where it's like you're willing and it's gonna be okay. So let's let the audience know how they can get in contact with you, Pia and Colin, your information. And
we have two websites, and you mentioned the blog that just went out, which covers much of the energies that we're stepping into right now. And you can find that most recent blog on both of our websites. The first one is LARKMA, LARKMAA.com. And the other website is Pia, P-I-A, Orlean, O-R-L-E-A-N-E, .com. So PiaOrlean.com and LARKMA.com are our two websites.
And they describe and make available everything we're doing in our work.
All the services that we offer, the books we've written, the articles we've written, the interviews we've had.
The calendars that we produce.
The blogs we write, everything is on both of those websites.
Yeah, we are right now moving into, this is where we just moved into, the illuminating cycle. And we're still in the shadow cycle, right, as well, right? Yes.
Part of the shadow cycle, the part where all the drama comes up, or we shine the light through the drama and see the true reality. Yes.
Well, the thing about it is that, you know, we're ready for the next thing. So come on, let's get it going. Let's bring it out. Let's illuminate. I was thinking about it. What would be a good way to talk about it? Illuminate. What is it? The cracks in the foundation that need illumination. Is that what it is?
That's a great analogy.
I thought, well, we need to, because, you know, right now we need that illumination. Whatever is going to be illuminated out in the global announcements needs to now come out, and so that we can carry on. Mm-hmm. You know, so we're ready for it. And that's that warrior, that warrior, reminding everybody to be in their warrior. You're not a victim here. Remember who you are. Remember the truth of who you are. So Pia and Colin, I want to thank you so much for being here and coming on and spending your time and energy and your wisdom with us here. I'm Cornelia Stephanie, and I just want to let the two of you know we're not going to be able to visit the way that we usually visit. As soon as I end the broadcast, you guys are going to be, it's going to go off. So I want to thank you. Well, we can be in contact via email.
We're still connected.
Yeah, we're still connected. And I want to thank the audience for listening and tuning in. Like the Cornelia Stephanie Show, give us a thumbs up. And also, you know, when let us know what it is that you want to be known for. What is it that you want to be seen for? What is your contribution? What is it that you want people to know about you? What is it that you want people to know about you? Tell us. Because we're interested, we're curious, and we want to know what is that. And share your legacy, share your footprint, share your fingerprint, and let us know. Thank you so much for listening and tuning in. We'll see you again next time. Ciao. Bye-bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.